Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. Talking about Phil Woolis, the Labour MP who died just yesterday. Well, he didn't die as a Member of Parliament. He'd stepped down from Parliament in 2010, or did he lose? So he was yet another reptilian Blairite. I know he was not as vicious or as violent as some of them. But anyway, I will not mourn him, okay? So, I mean, he was a man who was gifted, who was quite intelligent, who'd achieved something in media. He at least had a career before he was elected an MP, unlike so many Labour parliamentarians. He'd also worked outside politics. He genuinely opposed racism, so I've got to hand it to him. He wasn't all bad. So he's from the Lincolnshire area. And I remember seeing a documentary about, you know, when two tribes go to war or whatever, about the national strike, sorry, the coal miner strike in 1984. It came out 20 years later. And I remember who was interviewed, and he said, well, you know, there was a wonderful sense of community in these mining towns, but, you know, that's gone. And I could see that the grief come over his face as he saw wrecked communities, and he had to take him in off camera. It was blatant. He was about to cry. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes his heart was in the right place, but he was, like most MPs, very dishonest, very vicious, fought a very dirty campaign, even by the standards of the time. Even the Prince of Darkness, Peter Mandelson, who masterminded this, said that acknowledged that it was particularly vicious and dishonourable, some of the things that they were saying. So, yeah, he was an MP for Little Borough and Saddleworth, which is on the edge of Manchester. And he'd actually failed to win it from the Liberal Democrats in a 1995 by-election. He took it in 1997, that year when Labour swept the board. So he rose up cursus honorum, being parliamentary private secretary to John Macdonald, who was the transport minister and so on, being a whip, as in charge of, and responsible for strong arming MPs to vote this way and that way. And then it came to things like after 9/11 and bombing the Taliban, and some Labour MPs were against that, Labour against bombing and so on. So he had to cajole them into voting the right way. So he's eventually deputy leader of the House of Commons. His immediate superior was Peter Hain. And what else are I going to say? So he held various ministerial positions as Minister of State for Local Government at the Deputy Prime Minister's office, because under one cabinet minister would be about three ministers of state. But the Secretary of State is cabinet level. Minister of State is below that. And the loathsome John Prescott, sex molester, was his immediate boss. But obviously that didn't seem to trouble Phil Woolis and so on. And he held various other positions. And he voices opinions on the issues, should women work in schools be allowed to wear veils or not? And this Muslim woman was doing that. I don't know if it was in his constituency, but she only did it where a man came into the room. There was any little children, including boys, then she wouldn't. Now, he just told the incontestable truth that incest increases the incidence of congenital abnormality. And he said that in the Pakistani community, marrying a first cousin is very common. And then often the next generation down again, first cousins getting married again, really giving people a double dose of any undesirable gene. Saying, should this be outlawed or not? I mean, it's not forbidden at the moment for people from other backgrounds that would be considered incestuous and deeply distasteful. But should people be allowed to do it anyway, despite it's going to have a much worse outcome for many children? Because the Pakistani community in the United Kingdom is about 2% of the population. But of those who are born with some severe congenital disorder, it's much, much higher than that. I don't have the data at my fingertips. So some people have said, oh, that's racialist or Islamophobic or things like that. So anyway, it turned out in the expenses scandal, which came out in the summer of 2009, that Phil Woolis had abused the expenses something rotten. And not making a partisan point, the Conservative MPs, the Liberal Democrat MPs, possibly other parties who did this, who were ripping off the poor, making people pay for his food, pay for your own food, yeah, and so on. So it was really shocking the way that he had ripped off the taxpayer, the poor, whom he claimed to care about. But he correctly said that some lawyers were overly aggressive in helping illegal immigrants stay, and they just didn't care about the social harm this caused. And likewise, so-called charities, which are really, you know, ideological activists. Now, to some extent, I can't blame the solicitors and barristers. They do the best they can for their clients. That's the side they're on. Everything they can within the law, within the ethics profession, that's the right thing to do. You wouldn't expect a solicitor or barrister to do anything worse. So to some extent, he was scapegoating solicitors and barristers when really it's the government, the legislators who need to be held responsible. He said that he didn't like people who complained about bullying and things like that. So he tried to prevent former Gurkhas from settling in the United Kingdom. And here I agree with them. Eventually, they won their case in court and Joanna Lumley fronted their case. Okay, that was not part of the deal. They'll be allowed to live in the United Kingdom after their military service. So that's it. Okay, you can't unilaterally invent terms in a contract when it's over. Just like if there were rights in the contract, you're wrong for the employer to say unilaterally to take those away. No. But anyway, I don't know the reasoning for it, but the court decided they were allowed to stay. And there have been model immigrants and so on. Goodness. So he said he wanted to seek the leadership of the Labour Party. Goodness. So he had fought a very dirty election campaign again. All sorts of things, lying, using racist language. I don't think he believed in racism, but it was for entirely cynical reasons to help his campaign. And Trevor Phillips, who used to be an aspiring Labour candidate for Mayor of London, pointed out how racist what Phil Woolis was saying and so on. How he and his spin doctor, how they had falsified photographic images and things like that. Goodness. So he was very dirty and very unfair to what he did to his Liberal Democrat opponent. But yeah. He won very narrowly that election, and there was a court case against him. So he was a deeply dishonest, selfish, greedy man, a baleful influence on the body politic. So in that sense, I won't miss him. But you know, he was a typical Blairite, like I say, you know, vain, glib, given to sloganizing, just burdening the taxpayer, overexpanding the public sector, sending too many people to university. What else can I say? I mean, I don't think he was evil to children. Perhaps they're not aware that he was. That's one of the few things that I can hand him. So he's very much on message, a sycophantic Blairite, just in lockstep with Tony Blair. Okay, supported the liberation of Iraq. And for that, you know, I do him homage. So got to tug the forelock to Phil Woolis on that one. But he died of brain cancer. I don't know how long he'd been ill with it, but I will not miss his like. What do you think? Did Phil Woolis do anything to contribute to the Commonweal? You tell me. Goodbye.